This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Stepping on board the IS-9 is nothing if not a roll of the dice. So, if you're going to take that chance, at least have some really gorgeous, high-quality, unique RPG dice to roll with. Fan Roll by Metallic Dice Games have classic metallic dice sets, but also gemstones, acrylic, liquid core, and even a glow-in-the-dark option that's super cool and super handy when you can't find any night vision goggles. So many colors, materials, and designs to choose from. Plus, listeners to this show get 10% off your order. I'm guessing as a sort of consolation prize for listening to this show. Just use the code OZ9 at checkout. Get dice that are as unique as you and your character. Go now to fanrolldice.com and choose your dice, Space Monkeys, and get 10% off with code OZ9 at checkout.
On Friday, July 26, 2019, the entire cast of Oz9 assembled in Seattle to record the opening episode for Season 2. We also collected questions from our patrons and Discord clan, so what follows is a roundtable Q&A. You're listening to Bonnie Brantley, Richard Nadolny, Eric Perry, Richard Cowan, June Clark Eubanks, Aaron Clark, Tim Sherburn, John Faley, and Shannon Perry. Our theme music, which, quote, perfectly sets the tone, unquote, thank you, Kyle, is by John Faley. There are a couple of spoilers within, so if you haven't heard all of Season 1, you may want to do that first.
Does everybody want to say their name and character real quick? So I'm Shannon, Madeline and Olivia.
I'm Richard, I play the narrator.
I'm Eric, and I play Joe, Head One, Dr. Habersetzer, and Mr. Souther, Senator Southers. He's not a senator, though. He isn't?
No, remember, he was talking to the senator.
Oh, who would remember that? And Mr. Souther.
Who would remember that?
Sorry. I'm Bonnie, and I am Jesse and Donna and various other characters here and there.
I'm Aaron Clark. I play Le Bichon Frise and Ben.
Isn't that freeze?
And I'm June Clark Eubanks, and I play Glenda and the Albatross.
I'm Richard Prime, and I play Leet.
Richard Prime? No, never.
I'm Tim Sherburn, and I play Colin Smith and Head 2/Emily.
And I'm John Faley, and I do the music, and I'm also Brandon.
The YouTube guy.
Brandon the YouTube guy. Okay, so we're going to do the first question for John, because John needs to go do other important things, unlike the rest of us. So the first question is from Paul Nichols, and he asks, where is the intro music from? It perfectly sets the tone.
The intro music is just straight out of the top of my head. When
you
first asked, with very little description, just a verbal description of what the show was going to be about, that it was going to be science fiction-y and funny and in space, and then put together about 20 different pieces for these guys to review, and that was one. It felt like we wanted to sort of a retro kind of 80s pop sort of vibe, and so that's how it came about.
And it's in, and John does other music too. There is the morning music, which I love, which I think is hilarious. So the crew wakes up to morning music, which is also by John, which is cheesy and fabulous. Oh, and the crew room music, which you hear underneath a lot of conversations because they spend a lot of time in the crew room.
And heroic running.
And heroic running.
Well, I will point out that, yes, John has created a couple of different versions of our theme song. So we have a hard rock version, and we have a smooth jazz version, and now he is promising a disco version. So
yes.
Something to look forward to.
He's awesome. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's amazing. Anything else, John, you'd like to add before you have to take off? Bye.
Thank you.
See ya.
Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Good to see you again.
Nice to meet you in person.
And there was much hugging. Thank you, John. So moving on. So this is from Travis Hull.
Is it because you can hear your voice now that you're talking so softly all the
time?
Yeah,
this is driving me crazy.
It's the radio voice. You can't not do it.
All right, all y'all could shut the hell up.
We don't have earphones on, so we're just talking like we always do.
This is so weird. Delicious. Okay. Children.
I've never seen.
So these are the cats that we heard every week right here. So could everybody tell me a moment or a blooper that made into the show, made its way into the show, or you wish had made its way into the show?
Oh my God.
Wow, we have a lot of Tim going.
I don't know that we have any that we had wished had gone in, but we have so many all the time that that's what makes recording so much fun.
I usually have a blooper every time I have to say something French, so I'm glad those do not make it in. I'm glad I get pronunciation instruction on that. Thank you, Shannon.
Like my French is so perfect.
It's better than mine.
Yes, our apologies to the entire country of France and large swaths of Canada and Africa.
We're saving all our bloopers for special.
We are.
Special people.
They are some very fun bloopers. Yeah. I think my favorite is when one time Joe pops up and Colin is supposed to say Jesus and I accidentally said it instead and Tim says, "Hey, you stole my Jesus."
You stole my Jesus.
You stole my Jesus.
That could make it on T-shirt and no one would know what it was. I stole my Jesus.
All right. What was the inspiration for the alarm? Richard, you can tell that story if you like.
The inspiration for the alarm. Well, it was funny because I tried recording. I assumed you were going to pick one word and then repeat it. I didn't realize you were going to use the whole string of me trying to do alarm in a very bored voice. So we needed an alarm and we tried to figure out what would be the alarm on the Oz 9. And it's like, well, it can't be right. Whoever's recording it back in Gated Galaxy would probably be annoyed that they're doing that. So. Exactly. And so that became the ship's alarm.
I mean, you want me to do what?
I mean, originally I started out planning to do an actual alarm, and I listened to, I don't know, a couple dozen on various sites and thought, yeah, no, this is not going to work. So I said, Richard, could you do this, considering it filler for the time? And then it turned out to be funny, and so we kept it. Except for those two guys who gave us bad reviews on iTunes because they didn't like the alarm.
What? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah,
you're supposed to hate your alarm.
I don't really care because it's an MP3 and people use it as their actual alarm on their phone now. So
yeah,
those two guys can live without it.
Okay. All right. What, let's say, Ruck asks, does Leet know my password?
Yes.
You may be noticing some interesting charges on your credit card. Mostly gym equipment, so it's okay.
And bronzer.
Tickets to the zoo.
Right.
Ooh, zebras.
What did Joe do before he was on the ship?
Yeah, he worked at a laboratory. Very top secret laboratory, very important work being done for the NASA and the War Department as the janitor, and he's been a janitor for a long time. His family was he uses actually his great grandfather's mop, as a matter of fact. It's been handed down generation to generation. So this is pretty much it. Now he's doing it in space, sometimes without pants on.
But always with his Wellingtons.
Make sure you have your rubbers.
When we're answering these questions, we're going to be messing up all your writing by adding stuff that you didn't think of.
Oh, I'm going to disclaim all of this.
Well, now is our opportunity.
Because Joe's really on Hebesetzer.
Right. So actually, before this, he was playing with mice in the laboratory. All right. So your best guess, what are the hockey pucks made of that we eat?
Urinal cakes.
Oh, I can totally see that.
Human growth hormone.
Recycled cardboard.
Soylent Green.
Spam.
Our most important ingredient is our people.
Just look out for the Girl Scout cookies.
For the Girl Scouts.
Yes. You guys are
Don't modify it, though, because I'll whip it out the airlock.
That is not an authorized hockey puck.
That is right.
Where does Joe keep finding all the food?
Yes, it's an interesting question. My theory is that during the construction phase of the Oz ships, the construction crews were multinational working class people who brought their own sandwich machines and had them stocked. And then in the usual gated galaxy efficiency, they left the machines on board the ships. And so they're just in various places, available with his magic janitor, magic key that he can access almost anything on the ship. He can grab sandwiches from any of these machines he wants and choke them down.
That's
upsetting.
Really gross. Okay, another question from Ruck. Jesse seems like a steak kind of person. Okay, I assume he meant how would she want it cooked, but he actually has who would she want it cooked, which is interesting, given the Oz 9.
I like it bloody.
God, you scare me.
How many rooms are on the ship?
All of them.
More than 12.
All of them. Lots and lots and lots.
Over 3,000.
But there's only one bathroom.
Oh, wait, no, it's 9,000.
And only one bathroom.
And only one bathroom.
And it's a men's room.
But it's big.
It's IP standard.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, God.
And that's why she wears leggings.
Okay, you all are scaring me. Okay. If we did another crossover, does anybody have a show you would like to do a crossover with? Like we did with Best in Galaxy.
Star Trek.
Doctor Who.
Babylon 5.
Podcast, guys. Podcast.
You didn't designate.
Is there a Star Trek podcast?
Probably.
No, I'm sure there is.
I think it would be fun to do a crossover with either Oblivity or We Fix Space Junk. I would love to have We Fix Space Junk come fix the Oz 9.
They're not going to be able to.
Well, if they could stop it spinning, that would be a big start.
Somebody said, show up on one of the cooking shows.
Cooking with Grief?
Scottish podcast.
Scottish podcast would be fun.
Oh my God, the Scottish
podcast. Because they would visit us and then it would be over and then they'd talk about it in the bar.
I think we should buzz King Falls. That would be fun. Because
we can't. We can't control the
engine. Oh, that's true. We'll figure it out. How much time a week is spent just interacting with fans on social media?
It depends.
Why you'd have to say you're on there more than the rest of us
put together.
I'd probably spend everybody talk amongst yourselves.
I'm on there about an hour a day while I'm lying in bed in the dark before instead of going to sleep like I should.
If I'm being completely honest, I really hate my job right now, so probably way too much time on social media, but it keeps me sane, so thank you to everybody because you're helping me avoid my horrible job and my horrible boss.
Oh,
who's not listening, I suppose?
No.
I usually do it after I wake up from my night terrors.
And it sounds
gets me
like
back to sleep.
It looks like it, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I just like to say Eric is my brother and therefore the source of my night terrors.
I am the source of your night
terrors. You are the source of my night terrors. Okay.
What does scare me about social media was the Albatross was on social media and now she's off. So hopefully she'll be coming back really soon.
She's following us and she's never saying anything.
I know. It's scary.
Dude, you're a little stalky with this albatross person.
I know.
The hard thing about social media is that it's really cool that everybody stays in character, and that's like super fun, and our fans really seem to like that. And having conversations with our snarky characters is great. The hard part is how to maintain the character without interrupting the storyline. So we just try and be characters sort of free-floating from the storyline when we're on social media. And I think that's great fun myself.
Yeah, we're basically in an alternate universe whenever we're in character there.
Exactly.
Except some idiot named Bonnie keeps tweeting on my Twitter feed. I don't know who she is.
Talks about Etsy in the middle.
Drives me crazy. It's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
I can't help it. Who are you, Jesse?
I love the narrator, as you very well know, but was there a reason you decided to have one besides the fact that you had the perfect voice actor for it?
Oh.
Superb. It's a little bromance.
The inspiration for the narrator was actually one of our favorite shows, Arrested Development. We love the way the narrator is a part of the story and clues the listeners, in our case, in to things that are going on that the characters themselves don't actually know. So we feel a little bit more informed about the story than the, you know, the idiots that are bumbling around on the ship. So that's why.
So Ron Howard, if you're listening, we'd love to have you do a crossover with the rest of development in Oz 9.
Squee.
Right.
Actually, I did tell Shannon earlier that my dream would be for Ron Howard to deliver one of his lines from Arrested Development would be at the end of a story going, and that's how you narrate a story.
So what was the hardest part of getting the show off the ground? I think for me, the hardest part was probably just that we had not done this before. I don't know that any of us has been involved in a podcast before.
Other than you.
You're forgetting Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge inspiration.
That was a practice run.
It really was. And it was great, actually. It was really useful. Olivia came from that Sherlock Holmes thing.
That is true.
That is true. So that was really good. But I think for me, the hardest part is just not knowing what I'm doing. So being very inefficient with the production and stuff. So
well, and I think you guys? Part of it, too, was just actually getting going. It's like, well, you wanted to do something, but what? So coming up with the idea and fleshing it out. Remember, we all sat around the table and tried to come up with our character ideas and that. But yeah, the hardest part was actually just getting going.
Yeah, I kind of remember that first brainstorming conversation we had about the various characters and where we were. It didn't turn out anything like it, but.
Well, you all have the same names. Kept the names. What about for the people who came in a little bit later? What would you say was a challenge?
A difficult part is we're all in kind of different.
Oh, I'm not close enough to the mic. Sorry, we're all in different time zones. So when we're doing the recording, so sometimes it's a little late for us, but getting our lovely seven-year-old to be quiet enough, just to be quiet enough to do the recording. But she loves it. She does impressions of me and it just cracks me up. But the time difference, I just want to hang out all night with everybody, you know, because I'm having so much fun. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it's midnight. We all got to get to bed.
I do mine.
June?
Oh, June, yeah.
Or Bonnie.
I do mine remotely too. So I'm in a closet. I'm in a closet in my house with no air conditioning and the light turns out when I close the door. So I have to be really careful about that, but I have to close the door because it's too hot in there and I've got this ironing board behind me and man, it's just ridiculous. And then I'm always jealous because it's 6 o'clock in Seattle and all the other group is all sitting around their table having their dinner through the read through and they have fudge sickles or something and they're drinking and it's 10:30 at night for me and I'm in a closet. It's just sad. And everybody in my house has gone to sleep and then my daughter comes in telling me it's time to go to bed. So today we're all together and we all got to eat together and it was so fun. What? It was so fun. I don't want to leave.
When it comes to challenges, I will point out that the first time we had Bonnie on, because we use Skype so we can see the remote people. And so there she is in her closet with her computer and, you know, the Skype, we can see her. And it's like, there were all these shelves with bins and things are labeled. And so we were all asking her questions. It's like, well, what is that? What is that thing? What's in there? Well, show. And so she's pulling shit out of these, you know, bins, showing us stuff. And yeah, so that was the challenge there. Was like, guys, we have to record here.
Let's. The closet full of crap.
And Bonnie.
And I will mention that she lives in Austin, Texas. So being in a closet with no air conditioning is particularly unpleasant sometimes. It's hot. It gets really hot. Method. She's very method.
I suffer for my art.
She's method. Jesse's had a rough go of it the entire time. Now I'm trying to kill her.
Worst rescue ever.
I love it.
Okay, what is Joe's favorite sandwich so far?
I'm going to go with the peanut butter and sriracha sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Has potential.
Because it gives you that nice burn and it sticks to the roof of your mouth. So it lingers. So, and Uncle Joe's, Yellowstone Joe's, Blooms and Shrooms sandwich. veggie wrap. No, that was something I used on Facebook or Twitter, I should say. That'll get you tripping and flipping and. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones that he's partaken of. Do we have any of the other ones? I don't remember. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of long nights digesting those things. So some of them are just passed through and others linger.
There's a reason he doesn't sleep with the rest of the crew.
Right. And sometimes I don't sleep at all.
Okay, from Jessica Vest, what is Leet's favorite workout? How does he maintain his symmetry?
Crunches, dude.
It can get very intimate when you're counting someone's crunches.
Exactly. And performing them.
Short but sweet. I love Lee so much.
Whole evening has been lascivious.
I could try that again. It's crunches. I love the crunches.
Okay, you're all scaring me. What three wishes would Head 2 make, Emily? Also from Jessica.
Sorry, I'm sitting there playing with a mixer. What was the question?
What three wishes would Head 2 make?
What three wishes would Head 2 make? Let's see. Probably wish number one. Now, actually, Head 1 seems to be obsessed with the arms. Head 2 doesn't seem to really care too much about them. I think Head 2 probably... Wow, that's a tough one.
Would Head 2 want to be separated from Head 1?
I don't know. I think that... No. Because Head 2 gets a little defensive whenever Head 1 suggests... When his attention strays away...
We share a CPU, of course.
So yeah, of
course.
Separate.
We'd miss each other.
Well,
tater tot.
Miss each other in the way that we would cease to function.
I think if he had a wish, he would wish to have his unfried brain back.
Oh yeah, definitely the ability to actually
might cause some lasting pickles.
The frustration that comes from having like your words like not come out good.
So like you then.
Ta-da.
Let's see. For the albatross, this is from Kyle. So have you ever considered a blue Sharpie rather than red?
Absolutely not. Red is the color of blood. Awesome. It's right. It's the color of death. No, blue is very peaceful and relaxing.
Red exactly. is the color of correction.
Exactly. Correction.
Oh, right. Red is a correcting pen.
And I correct a lot of things.
I do correct a lot of things, Kyle. I'm about to correct you.
Oh. I correct things permanently.
Permanently.
Permanent marker.
Isn't there a good shiny in there?
Yes, red rum. It's not blue rum. Or
All right, for Jesse, also from Kyle, how have you adjusted being a non-captain now that you find yourself aboard the Oz 9?
I'm still a captain. It's just that...
No, you're not.
Madeline won't let me be called captain when I'm on her ship. As soon as I'm off the ship, I'll be a captain again.
I'll gladly take you off the ship right now for not having a proper body tag.
I got my tag. It just has papal soup on it.
Maybe it's like The Office. She's the assistant captain.
Assistant to the
assistant to the captain.
Assistant to the captain. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Hottie.
Captain Hottie.
Nobody calls me Hottie except on this show anymore.
Anymore. She says wistfully.
Yes, down coolly.
Indeed. Okay, from Eddie Louise of the Quite Wonderful Sage and Savant, if anybody's listening to that podcast. What is the particular combination of traits that make the corporation certain these monkeys can't fly? In other words, how did they select for maximum inefficiency?
Is this like that interview question where you're supposed to admit your worst fault?
Yeah. I'm too much of a perfectionist.
Or did they do it like Madeline? It was just, who was standing closest to them?
That's probably
proximity.
Proximity rules. Anybody have any thoughts about how that was done? I mean, we got a peek with Leet's interview where she was very excited about someone who didn't realize that if you name a zebra, it's already named. But
problem is, Richard's just kind of playing himself.
Thanks, dear.
I think there was somebody was it that was doing some hiring at Applebee's, and these were the people that didn't make the cut. So
the Applebee's cut.
So they were hired for the crew of the Oz 9 instead.
A low water Applebee's.
Right.
No offense to Applebee's.
Sorry, Applebee's.
These are not the opinions of.
Yeah, that's true. It could have been TGI Fridays.
Right.
That's, well, Eric and I were both, as kids, we were both laid off from detasseling corn, which has got to be about one of the most mindless activities.
How did you get laid off from that?
Well, I like to think it's because it was the end of the season, but considering we both lasted a week, I think we were just really bad at it.
I lasted a week. I think I showed up at the site, and then they said,
talk to the microphone.
I think they just said, stay on the bus. You have to understand, in the Midwest, where we came from in Illinois, it's a rite of passage that you detassel at some point in your teenage years.
It's a horrific rite of passage.
It's awful, yeah.
This is really a thing?
Yeah,
you detasseling corn?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Job detasseling corn?
Absolutely.
They don't have a machine for this?
Well, they do, yes, but they
they're called college students.
Yeah, basically.
High school students.
Oh, yeah. This is before you could get a real job. They actually have detasseling machines, which is basically just two tires running across the tops of the tassels. The only problem is that they're more than likely to actually rip out the whole stalk and send it careening across the field.
No, too much.
I did the other fun farm thing, and that's walking beans.
Oh. Yeah, it was usually one or the other.
Walking beans, what is that?
You walk through the rows of beans and you pull out the weeds.
Yeah, they also call them deroguing.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, because they swap fields. So what would be beans one year will be corn the next.
Yep.
But there'll be stray corn that will grow up amongst the beans and steal nutrients.
Yeah, in Ohio they call that succotash. Beans and corn.
Succotash.
It's also a dish.
So what's the next question for the 4-H Club?
I'm the one from Texas.
So rude.
I would like to say, however, that when you see people walking through cornfields and it looks so nice and romantic and sweet and very Midwestern wholesome,
it's bullshit.
It's like hell. Corn will shred you if you are not paying very close attention. That shit will get you.
Maybe that's like the whole children of the corn thing that we didn't all get.
That's why they're so angry. The suburbs. Right.
Well, and that's why all the guys in Field of Dreams are ghosts. They don't feel it. The rest of us are all out there. All
right, we're getting a little 4-H here.
Yeah, we are.
All right. Anyway.
Do all of you know this except for me?
Yes.
Mm. We're all from the Midwest.
Wow. No, that's not true.
Well, except for you. You know about gutting fish.
Well, that's true. I did that.
This episode is brought to you by Shaker and Spoon. Captain's Log, Stardate. I don't know. There's like 140 stars within a mile of me, so we're going to skip that bit. We received a package today from a company called Shaker and Spoon, and Colin and Jesse are already face deep in the box. It has three recipes for creating cocktails, plus all the ingredients you need, minus the alcohol. As someone who's been gargling swamp hooch for the last how many forevers I've been up here, wow, we got the vodka brunch box. Each recipe makes 4 servings, and we've already had the blood and sage and the slow rush. So easy to make, even Greg the Zebra was tending bar, and the results were magnificent. If you're foolish enough to listen to this show, we've got an actual smart thing for you to do. $20 off any link subscription if you go to shakerandspoon.com/oz9. Get a box delivered to your airlock each month and $20 off your subscription at shakerandspoon.com/OZ9. Enjoy, Space Monkeys. Captain out.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Okay, moving on.
I had to dress up like Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh my God, she wins.
Wow.
Exactly.
I had to dress up like Billy Bob from Showbiz.
Okay. Wow. This is a whole nother question. Another. Y'all say whole nother?
Mm-hmm. Whole nother? No.
We do.
That's a Texan thing.
Okay.
Y'all.
Children, this is going to be an editing nightmare. Let's see. Okay, another question from Paul Nichols. Are you done?
The brother and sister are sitting next to each other. We're going to separate them next time.
And the brother said something inappropriate. That's new and different. Alrighty then. I would just like to introduce you to my childhood. Shut up.
Your mother can't listen to this.
No. Is any of the podcast improvised by the cast? Not yet. Whoa. If not, is this something they would like to try in the future?
No.
Not even remotely.
Yeah, not really.
We're the improv twins.
Yeah, there is some improv going on. Microphone.
I have something actually to say. We don't really improvise that much. Maybe some of the background dialogue, but not really the actual lines.
Sometimes. Improv's hard.
Yeah, this is a fairly precise script, so it doesn't really have a lot of room for improv. So
we improv in the murmurs a lot.
Oh, that's true.
That's the word. Yeah, the listen into the murmurs.
If you ever listen, Joe consistently says in the middle of a murmuring scene that he's swallowed his gum. So
he consistently says it. It doesn't always make it into it's the not final really
improv. The first one was improv.
Besides, Shannon will beat us.
Yeah.
My only really improv lines are the laughs and the ahs. Those are about the only thing that I kind of mess with because they're just, you know, just playing with it. But that's as crazy as I get.
You improv how long you hold the word. Like,
exactly.
But it was so funny that that's why I did the one where he says something about counting his H's because they got the A's got so long that it was like ridiculous. So it made sense to say, how many H's is that? Six. It's more like 12. That's awesome. All right. I had another one here. For the Les Bichons Frisés, or In It Freeze?
Freeze.
It is Frisé.
For the Bichons Frisés, if you were able to do the most brilliant assassin, the greatest assassin of all the times, who would you assassin? And perhaps make it fictional so we don't get sued or otherwise develop FBI files.
Oh, I had such a good one.
I bet you did.
Don't get arrested, honey.
So good. Is this of all time or modern times right now?
All time. He said of all the times. This is from Kyle.
All the times. It would probably be that Anglais William Shakespeare. He wrote all that silly stuff, and I will prove to everyone he did not write it. It was women. It was children. His stuff is terrible. I love that. You are dead, William.
Okay, so the one country left that we had not completely offended, we now did. Awesome.
We're not going to show up on those lists of British podcasts anymore.
He would be poof poof out of his little theater.
Shakespeare was a hack.
Oh my God. You haven't insulted the French enough. Now you're like William Shakespeare.
Now we're going for the British.
So I hope none of you ever had goals of traveling abroad anymore.
Oh, the other one would be the little match girl AI. That would be very hard. I don't know how I would stabby her.
Right. Oh, I don't think you would. Okay, let's see here. For Mr. Southers, considering that galaxies do not have fences and therefore no need for gates, why is your company named Gated Galaxies? And if you don't know the reason for that, I do. So carry on.
Well, so I'm just going to say it wrong, of course, because I don't know what you had in mind. But so why is it called Gated Galaxies?
Oh, God.
Well, that's a long story, so you hear.
Oh, look at the time.
Oh. And scene. That's a good question. I don't know why. What did you have in mind for why it's called Gated Galaxies? We'll go from there.
Well, the idea is that, you know, rich people live in gated communities, and this was, they're gating off entire galaxies strictly for rich people to live in.
What she said.
Yeah.
What she said.
And you'll never get that again from your brother.
Yes. You're right.
Here's a good one. I like this one from Ruck. With as successful as the show is becoming, what do you attribute that to?
Listeners.
Yes.
They listen and they like us and they pass the word on to other people. That's all I can say.
Definitely.
Joe.
What about coffee?
Well, I think a lot of it is the writing, and we have such a wonderful writer in Shannon, and she does such a wonderful job that it's every week that we're surprised as the cast, and it gets the audience to come back because it's really good comedy, and I love the science fiction-y part of it. I think it's great.
Go ahead.
It's dinners on Friday night with friends. Really, that's what's doing it.
Free food.
Yeah, definitely.
My closet.
I was going to say probably part of the problem with the not wanting to improvise is because the story is a little unpredictable, mm-hmm. which would be, that is my fault. Sorry. So it's a little hard to improvise when you're not sure what the next minute sure. brings. So,
well, and, you know, I have to say that I'm pretty sure this is true for all of us. We are, I will admit that I am one of our biggest fans. But we're all cracking up when we're reading everything all the time. So I think we're just as big of fans as people who are fans. Face it, we're going to admit it right here. Right now, we're admit it. Hold your hand up if you're one of our biggest fans. Woo! You know it. You lie.
Well, I don't know, because I would have to point out that some of our fans know our show better than we do.
That's true.
So,
okay.
I mean, we love you anyway. Fans.
But we are fans. Yes, we love our show.
Every time we get a new script, we get all excited. And then we crack up through the whole reading. It's so fun.
It is pretty funny though when a fan person will say on Discord, on the Podcast Junkie Discord server, they'll say something about the script and I'm like, I don't remember that. Like, but they've listened to it more times than I have, so they know it better than I do, and it's like, it's awesome. But,
that's awesome.
Yeah. For the narrator, from Kyle, being that you are contractually obliged and most likely must say nice things about Oz9, what would you say if I were to ask you to say something nice?
I'd say I only read what's in the script.
Nice.
So get Shannon to put something nice in there.
And then you'll say it's snarky. And
we'll and then I will say it's snarkily, yes. But I would say probably the nicest thing about Oz9 is it's the closest I will ever come to narrating a documentary.
Didn't the narrator one time like cheer for us when we didn't all die? It was like the first time the narrator was happy for us and we knew he liked us. But there was some, what was that?
Yeah, there was, but then we quickly corrected course and sent ourselves to disaster.
That was it. Because I remember one moment he said something that made me realize he actually was rooting for us.
He said, and hooray.
That was it. It was hooray.
But it was like a sarcastic hooray.
No, it wasn't. It was it was genuine, because then they were like, no, let's don't do that then. And I was like, and they just blew it.
See? So that's how we knew you were actually really secretly rooting for us.
Oh, here's a good one. Colin, this one's from Ruck. Yes. How did you make all your money?
You're editing your thoughts, aren't you, right now?
However you think I might have made my money, it was never proven in court.
Excellent. Will Colin ever figure out how to use a microwave?
Why bother? I mean, there's all these peasants around who's perfectly capable of running the micro cooker or whatever it is you call it.
Love that. Leet, you really need to stop feeding him. You're only encouraging this bad behavior. Okay, I think we're good. Anybody else want to have any final moments? Questions? Answers? Thoughts? Regrets?
Not at all.
I just want to thank everyone for listening to us, because, I mean, without you, well, we'd probably still be doing this, but we'd be doing it off into the void. So The fact that people actually listen and enjoy this is just more payout than I could ever imagine. So thank you.
Truly, it's not something I ever would have expected myself to be a part of, but it's been a blast, and I hope to keep doing it.
I remember thinking back when I started acting, when I was 18, 19, I never would have dreamed I would be doing a radio play, and to read the remarks on the internet about how excited people get about it and how much fun they're having. It makes me really happy to know that, because I always wanted to do some sort of theater performance that made people happy. And watching that
happen. Instead of making them cry.
Or instead of, just playing to empty theaters.
Which made you cry.
Which made me cry. Right. I love to see how excited people get.
I'm very excited and also terrified about the live show in April.
Oh, yeah.
About actually doing this in front of people. Yeah,
we should actually talk about that a little bit. Thank you for bringing that up. So April 25th, we will be appearing with a bunch of other radio, with a bunch of other sci-fi podcasts. So the show is called Wi-Fi Sci-Fi, and we will be appearing in, please help me if I don't forget anybody, Sage and Savant, Ninth World Journal, Moonbase Theta Out, Relativity, Oz9, Girl in Space. We'll all be appearing in Seattle at the Copious Playhouse, which is a very cool little performance space in Ballard in Washington State, in Ballard in Seattle. So look for Indiegogo, where we will be asking you for funds to help us make this happen. And I hope people will be able to come. We'll have lots of great rewards for patrons, and it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I think there was a question earlier about bloopers. You might experience some.
Yeah,
It'll probably be nothing but.
Gonna be
it's gonna be the
city.
Live blooper show.
Yeah,
all bloopers all the time,
and a little bit of story might fall out of it.
Yeah. Oh, then you get to see what it's like before it gets edited, all beautifully edited. Just chaos and wackiness.
It will be chaos. But yeah, there's gonna be six shows, which is very cool. And I think it looks like we may be doing two shows now because the theater is nice but very detail. It doesn't have a great deal of seating. So
I'm coming. I'm coming.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And definitely a huge thank you to our listeners. We didn't expect to find you. So thanks for finding us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're lovely.
Merci.
Thanks a million.
Thanks, you're so everybody. Sweet.
You're so nice.
Thank you. Be sure to wear your body tags.
Do a hover sensor, quick.
That was a little bit. Thank you very much, all you nice people out there. It was very nice of you to turn into a little show here.
Ding, ding, bye-bye.
Ding, ding, bye-bye. Scoot along.
All right. Scoot along.
Thanks, everybody. We did Scoot not get along.
Many thanks to Kyle Jones, Raymond Morse, Jessica Vest, Travis Hull, Paul Nichols, and Eddie Louise Clark for their awesome questions. Remember, Season 2 starts August 18th, so be sure to tune in. And just IFY, the experience is 19.8 times more entertaining if listened to while wearing an Oz9 shirt from Tee Public. Until then, Space Monkeys, narrator out.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hello! Contact Day is in but a few short months, which means it is time to begin preparations for the Bi-Decennial Festival. This year, we're celebrating every single one of you living in my beloved Windfall City.
It is not our business to question the Queen's will. It is not our business to do anything but follow it.
It is you and your loyalty that has laid the groundwork for this incredible utopian society that we seek for.
Do you have any idea what's going on with us?
Keep your mouth shut, grub.
It is the duty of each and every one of you to do everything you can to make the festival a success this year.
Are you ready to speak kindly with me now, child?
I have no doubt that this year will be one for the history books, and that will be due in no small part to the dedication of my adoring subject.
Windfall, a dystopian science fiction podcast from Rogue Dialogue.